The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled by what he said and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. But the angel went on to say to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is her sixth month from the time she was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. I am told to stand up high here so that the people at the back can see me. I could wander around on there, but this is, I can see everybody here. Let me look at this gospel reading and anticipate some of the readings that we will be given in the next few days and right through the Christmas season. In order to understand in a geographic, logistical way, something of the narratives of the birth of Jesus, let me just spend one or two moments giving you a sense of the locations and the geography of the infancy narratives. As you know, the birth of Jesus is related to us only in two Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke. So let me allow your imagination to work for a few moments and say, South Pasadena, this is Jerusalem. You are now in Jerusalem. Arcadia, a few miles away, that's Bethlehem. Altadena, you won't believe who lives in Altadena. It's Bethany, and that's where Lazarus and Martha and Mary, they live in Altadena. Out in the San Fernando Valley, there around Chatsworth, that's where John the Baptist comes from. That's where he was born, a place called Ein Kerem. And in Ventura, 65, 70 miles north of here, that's Galilee. Up there we have Nazareth, mentioned in today's gospel. Up there we have Cana. Remember Cana, the wedding feast, second chapter of John. Up there we have the Mount of Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, Matthew chapter 5. That's all up there. The Sea of Galilee is up there. Almost all of Jesus' life was spent up in Ventura. Let your imagination work. This is how you get a little feel for the geography of the land of Jesus. Now, what's interesting about today's gospel and Luke and how Luke differs from Matthew is Luke says that Mary is from Ventura. He says she's from Nazareth up there. And therefore we have the Annunciation, today's gospel, takes place up in Ventura. Up there we have the Sea of Galilee. Up there Jesus spends most of his life in Ventura. Only generally the last week of his life will be spent in South Pasadena. Otherwise he's in Ventura. And up there we have Mary with the Annunciation, but now Luke must get Mary and Joseph from Ventura to Arcadia, to Bethlehem, for the birth of Jesus. So he says, Caesar Augustus calls a census. And they had to journey all the way from Ventura to fulfill the census all the way down to Arcadia, to Bethlehem, where Jesus will be born. Now, Matthew is different. Matthew says she's not from Ventura. Matthew said Mary is from South Pasadena. She was born in Jerusalem. She's from a family in Jerusalem. And therefore, while Luke says when they arrived in Arcadia, they found they had no place to stay. They were visitors. Matthew, however, says, oh no, she's from South Pasadena, so she has relatives in Arcadia. So when she goes for the birth of Jesus, she stays with relatives. There's no problem finding a place to stay in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, what this tells us is Matthew and Luke differ. Luke says she's from Ventura, and Matthew said she's from South Pasadena. Now, that tells us that the Gospels are not meant to be history. They're not meant to be geography. They're meant to be theology. And therefore, you'll find these differences in the Gospels, but we're not meant to follow the geography or the historical part of the Gospels. That's of interest to us, and many of you have been to the Holy Land, know these places. But the real issue, revelation of the Gospels, has to do with the theology of God revealing. So let me speak about that by way of a homiletic teaching. The epistle to the Hebrews says, Jesus was like us in all things but sin. He was tempted in every way, but never sinned. Otherwise, he was just like us. Now, that's an astounding awareness. I mean, I've thought about that a lot in my life. When you hit a crisis in your life, you want somebody around you that says, I think I know how you feel because I have felt that way. Now, that's the ideal. That's somebody who belongs to you. That's somebody who walks with you. And when in my life I've had times of loneliness, I say, but Jesus became flesh just like me. And he says, I know what it's like to be lonely. When you're betrayed in your life, Jesus says, I know what it's like to be betrayed. I was betrayed. When you're frustrated, or you get angry, or you're disappointed, discouraged in your life, when people don't respond to you, when you fail in your life, hear the voice of Jesus saying, I know how you feel, because I also felt that way. And so it brings Jesus Christ into our everyday lives. How the Lord is present to us. That's the theology of the Incarnation. That some people get very discouraged. They think they're left out. There isn't a place for them in the church. And Jesus says, I have been left out. People made judgments about me. I was marginalized in my life. I was undocumented in my life. I was taken into Egypt and came back into this land of Israel. I was terrified in my life. My family was threatened in my life. So whoever you are, Christ is with you. In the moment of your life, Jesus is there. He's just like us except for sin. That's an amazing awareness. Carry that, feel that, feel the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. 500 years ago in Germany, there was a family, the Durer family. And in this family, there were two sons, Albrecht and Albert. And they were very close. These two sons, these brothers were very close to one another. And as they were growing up, each of them had a certain propensity toward art. They wanted to study art. But the family was very poor, and they couldn't afford to send both of them to the School of Art in Nuremberg. And so the two brothers agreed that one of them would go to Nuremberg to study art, and the other would work in the mines to finance his School of Art. And so they would flip a coin, and whoever won the coin toss would go to the School of Art at Nuremberg, and his brother would work in the mines in order to finance his schooling, the schooling of his brother. Well, Albrecht won the toss, and he went to Nuremberg to study art. And Albert went into the mines, and for 4 years he worked in the mines to finance his brother Albrecht in the school. Albert excelled, and he became extremely successful in his 4 years. And when he finished, he was a celebrated person. Everybody admired his art. And he came home, and now they had a big celebration for him. And he said to his brother Albert, "Now it's your turn, and I will finance you, and you will go to Nuremberg and study art." But Albert said, "My hands are so wounded, and they're so destroyed by working in the mines for 4 years, I cannot go and study the art." So he lost his opportunity by taking care of his brother. Meantime, his brother became a very celebrated artist, and he did an etching of what he called hands. There were two hands in a prayerful posture, long fingers, damaged hands. And this became very famous and came to be called the praying hands. I think many of us have seen images of the praying hands. That's where it comes from. And the praying hands represent the one who sacrificed for you and for me in our lives. That's the real Christmas story now. That's the Christ person in your life. Who forgave you? Who walked with you in your time of crisis? Who loved you when you were rejected? Who admired you when you failed? Who is the person that stood by you? The person to try to understand you. That's the Christ person. That's the message of Christmas. Cherish the Christ person in your life. Bless the Christ person in your life. Be grateful that you have this special person in your life. Or look back, maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents who sacrificed for you. That's a Christmas thought. It makes us grateful, appreciative. It makes us understand that the praying hands, the one who sacrificed for us, who suffered for us, who forgave us, who walked with us in our time of crisis, these are the hands of Christ. The hands of Christ in your life and in my life. And that's the whole meaning of the incarnation. It's the whole meaning of God becoming present in my life, healing me, forgiving me, being patient with me, loving me in grace, loving me in sin, accepting me when others rejected me, including me when others excluded me. It's a wonderful sense that God is present in our lives in a very profound and personal way. I have felt that many times in my life, and when you reflect on it, you will feel the presence of the incarnation of God's presence in your life. And that, my friends, is the true Christmas story. Amen.